time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
And we are rolling along on a Tuesday. I'm Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes behind the glass, as always. Just full disclosure, the power is out in my hotel in Los Angeles, so I'm looking at Paul over Zoom.
It's so hard. I'm in Los Angeles. I get to go to the Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game, but... Oh, power inconvenience. You know what, Vanessa? They're telling us back here to conserve our power because it's 800 billion degrees. So I don't know. I don't know. I feel like it's fine. It's, what is it, 70 degrees in L.A. today?
It is, but I'm in Santa Monica, so it's actually colder. I was gonna stay with my cousin in Santa Monica, but she's a traveling nurse, so she has a schedule that would have interfered with me doing my show from her place.
Okay.
So I tried to do the generous thing, get a hotel. Mm-hmm. I got a cheap hotel. There's a lot of homeless people. It's not exactly safe when I leave to Uber, but it is what it is. And the power is out, so yeah, I have my water here, and we're gonna get through it. But yeah, the Home Run Derby was cool. I had never been to Dodger Stadium. It is very, very
pretty. It's awesome, isn't it?
I mean, I had never been. I knew the view was cool, but honestly, like, TV does not do it justice.
No, it's I've been twice, and in both times I've been blown away. Now, I've been there with two amazing days of weather. But look, for all we hate on the Los Angeles Dodgers, that stadium is fantastic. I think it just blends a cool bit of classic with just this awesome scenery around the ballpark. I really like Dodger Stadium.
The Home Run Derby was cool. Juan Soto won. Your boy Julio Rodriguez did very well.
Oh my God.
You are a Julio Rodriguez stan. So for people not listening, or for people listening who don't know this, explain why you love Julio.
For those who don't know, I interviewed him when he was 19 and when he was just very high on a list of prospects for the Mariners, but he wasn't even their top prospect. But I remember him, all 6'12" of him, standing in front of me at 19 years old and just being unbelievably impressed by a kid who clearly had just started learning English in the last couple of years but had learned a whole lot of it. He was mature, warm, had a personality to him that I feel like over the coming years, assuming that he gets a little more spotlight, that people are going to come to know. There's something about him that's, I think, truly special. And my God, he should have won the Home Run Derby last night. I get it. You have this matchup deal, the way that it works. I have some other issues with just the way that the broadcast of the Home Run Derby goes. I'm sure in person it was awesome. But, I mean, he had 81 home runs.
I was going to say he had 80. So Jason Stark, who writes for the baseball for the Athletic, actually tweeted out, Julio had 82 and
82.
Soto had 53.
Right.
The winner, not the guy who hit 82, because timing is everything and Juan Soto is awesome. I didn't realize it was that big of a difference.
It's a massive difference.
That's a huge difference.
Right. And I mean, you could see how maybe he gets worn out for the final round. And it's not like he had a poor showing in the last round or anything like that. But that was the welcome to superstardom, Julio Rodriguez. The Mariners have one and they are in the same division as the Astros. So just something to keep in mind on the other side of the All-Star break. You're going to have that kid playing you perhaps for the next 10 years.
He was really great to watch. It was cool to see Pujols, don't get me wrong. You know, that was awesome. But to see the young Bucks and the young guys make such a statement was cool. I was on Team Schwarber for the battle against Pujols because Schwarber went to Indiana. He grew up in Cincinnati. I got to meet some of his family. I met him during the ALCS, actually. And I like him a lot. And I got to tell you, he let me down. I was one of the only people cheering for Kyle Schwarber against Pujols, and didn't work out.
I think everyone in Houston, Vanessa, was rooting against Albert Pujols because for those who don't
know, Houstonians.
I mean, Pujols is an enemy of Houston. He is an
enemy
of the state.
I know that.
Yeah. Whether it
but everybody in the ballpark was up on their freaking feet for him.
Yeah. And look, there's some sentimental value to him. And it was cool that at the very least he did show up in this one as opposed to, I don't know, like a weak showing in the first round or something like that. But whether as a member of the Cardinals or as a member of the Angels, Albert Pujols has been a bleeping terrorist against the Astros. So I'm not going to lie. I was rooting against him the whole way. Same thing with the Mariners, too. He has abused them a lot as well.
I did not hear a lot of booing at the ballpark. I'm not going to lie. Now, maybe I missed it, but granted, we're going to find out a lot more when Dusty manages today and when there is Kyle, when Kyle Tucker is there. Here is Dusty Baker on the fact that he would greatly prefer that the lovely city of Los Angeles not boo the Astros.
If they boo my players, I would prefer that this beautiful town of LA don't and kind of forget the past, because most of the players that are here weren't even there during the scandal. And I just wonder about the forgiveness of mankind.
I love that last part. I just wonder about the forgiveness of mankind. I don't know. Maybe we should have that as a drop going forward. But whenever either of us make an absolutely catastrophic mistake, we'll just ask that. I wonder about the forgiveness of mankind.
I mean, we all know Dusty's a little bit of a hippie. You know, he's an OG. And he is very, very much beloved in the city. So he's in an interesting position, Paul, because he's going to defend his players,
you know,
100% of the time. But he is really, really loved here. He
is he really?
Yeah, he is. He played for the Dodgers.
I get that. But it's about what have you done for me recently. He managed the San Francisco Giants. He managed the Houston Astros. Now, some people, you know, the old types, you know, the country kitchen buffet 6 a.m. special type, like they might remember Dusty Baker playing for the Dodgers, but I mean, he's been a manager of two teams that are Dodgers rivals more recently than he's played for them. So interesting dynamic.
I can just tell you what I saw, which is he has a huge family section here, and he has a lot of people that obviously like him a lot. But yeah, no, I think that there's probably going to be boos at the All-Star game. And look, I don't know that it makes sense, granted, who's actually playing from the Astros, but that's going to remain.
I want the boos. I want all the boos. I want those people to remember their place. I want them to remember that, guess what? They played the Astros in a World Series, and whatever they want to say about it, they bleeping lost. They've had opportunities to get back against the Astros. Guess what? They haven't gotten back to play the Astros. Now, we do need to see at some point, just like another Astros Yankee series, I would also like an Astros-Dodgers series so we can finally bring balance to the force. We can finally really put everything to rest as far as the asterisk. I think that will officially allow us all to move on. But I want LA to remember. I want them to remember, even if Kyle Tucker wasn't playing for that Astros team, even if Framber Valdez wasn't playing for that Astros team, I want them to remember. I want all the boos.
All the boos. All the tension. All right, so Shane McClanahan as a starter
Who's
for the
that?
American League. That's exactly right. Dusty, when asked about him, said never heard of him.
Here's Dusty.
For the American League is Shane McClanahan. And, you know, he's deserving. I've tell you the truth, I've never seen him pitch.
Savage.
And we didn't play him at all this year, but everybody that I've talked to told me that he is nasty.
So Jeff Passan was quick to point out on Twitter, Dusty has seen him pitch in his 2021 ALCS game. He came in relief and allowed 3 runs.
So he sucked.
I suppose it was not a particularly memorable outing.
Right. He didn't look like an all-star.
Right. For all intents and purposes, Dusty has. I actually appreciated the honesty.
I did too. People are looking for any reason to get mad at him. Look, here's the other thing too. We are both casual when it comes to our following of baseball. No, I mean,
correct.
I had no idea that Pete Alonso was nicknamed the Polar Bear until last night. And they were just saying Polar Bear throughout the broadcast as if everyone should know who that is. I'm sorry. I think a great percentage of people that aren't Mets fans across baseball, across the states that follow baseball.
I have never heard him called that.
Okay, good. See,
I watched the Astros Mets. Now, granted, I'm watching the Astros broadcast.
And he's won 2 home run derbies in a row before this, too. He's
and we bear. Have both watched them.
Right.
I do not remember the Polar Bear thing.
I don't either. So, like, there's a lot of, I think, for the average baseball fan, hey, I follow what happens in my backyard. I don't follow everything. Imagine you are a manager and you are in the American League and you're not playing, you know, the Tampa Bay Rays where Shane McClanahan is playing all that much. Like, you might play against Shane McClanahan during the regular season if the schedules line up, because I think that they generally play the Rays like 6-7 times a year or something like that. But mean, there's a good chance you might not either. So I don't know. I didn't think it was that awful of a statement, and everyone got fake outrage about it. Oh, how dare they? Like, I know on my Seattle text line with all my ex-coworkers,
oh,
they were
no.
all getting pissy about it. And I was like, come on. Like, you expect him to know everyone across baseball? I had no idea who he was. Shane McMenamin? Shane McClanathan? I didn't know who the hell he was either. And, I mean, maybe I should, but whatever. I
People
just like Dusty,
get mad
we'll
about
be honest.
Anything. Dusty yeah. also said, I've heard he's nasty. He gave him a compliment. All right, so tiebreaker rules, Paul. If it's still tied after 9 innings for the All-Star game, there's going to be a home run derby to determine the winner. The AL participants, Ty France, Julio Rodriguez, and Kyle Tucker. National League, Pete Alonso, Ronald Acuna Jr., and Schwarbs.
I like that wrinkle. I'm not going to lie.
Me too.
I think it's fantastic. And it'll be better than the home run derby that we just saw, right? Because I brought this up briefly earlier. It's a difficult watch the way that they set the broadcast up, because since Vanessa, it's a time limit. I imagine at the ballpark, you can see all these balls leaving the yard.
True. Yeah. True.
On the broadcast, they have this side to side view of first off the batter with the pitcher throwing in the balls. And then sometimes the camera chases the balls out of the park, but there's so much happening at once. I don't know. It doesn't have the same gravitas that it once did in the 1990s. And sorry to be Mr. Nostalgia, but I don't know. The home run derby in 1998, where you saw Mark McGwire at Fenway Park, and you saw every single one of those moonshots, where when it goes out of Fenway Park, even if that's a small ballpark, it looks like it's going to outer space. It's a little bit different than when it's just like home run, home run, home run, home run. And it's cool that Julio Rodriguez hit 81 home runs, Juan Soto hit 53, but I like that this tiebreaker will just be a regular home run derby, as opposed to this, hey, hit as many as you possibly can over 3 minutes, and then you could get like a 30 seconds of bonus or a minute and 50 seconds of yeah. bonus, like you're playing one of those racing games with checkpoints at a Dave and Buster's.
The real breaking news is that Paul agrees with the old crusty baseball writers on something.
With some people, yeah.
Chris Long had the best tweet, which is, call Julio Rodriguez young climate change because he just killed a polar bear. All right.
I like Chris Vanessa. Long, but...
Yeah, you were not happy.
I don't know. I mean, it's a dad joke. He is a dad.
It is a dad joke. I love dad jokes.
Chris, come on the show. We like you.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, an unfortunate incident with a Texans player. There is an update in a Deshaun Watson saga, kind of little nugget. Plus, we're also talking about the LIV Golf Tour. That's coming up next.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, an unfortunate incident with a Texans player, a current Texans player, and then we will get to the former Texans player. But we start with Darius Anderson. So he was charged with burglary with intent to rape. Now, as of this morning, that has been, per Aaron Wilson, changed to burglary with intent to commit assault. He allegedly broke into a woman's house, followed her into the bathroom, and arraignment is scheduled for Wednesday. Look, this isn't the biggest name in the Texans organization, but definitely don't like to see this. Just assault, attempt to assault in general, but the Texans, I think, have had enough drama with legal proceedings enough to last the next couple of years.
Yeah. I think he's done. I think that's a pretty safe assumption, just given the Texans' history. Stories like this pop up, they're gross, and it does make me wonder about all of those many people who over the last 20 years have felt like the Texans only go after Boy Scouts. Well, guess what? Now, in Darius Anderson, they don't have one. Do you still want to keep this guy?
Right.
Is that what you're looking for? Do you really feel like that gives the team an edge? It's weird. So, yeah, he'll be gone, And once again, I think we'll be looking at a running back room that's really about what Damian Pierce, the rookie out of Florida, can do for the Texans. So awful news. Hopefully there was no one harmed in that situation.
Yep, local kid went to George Ranch and then TCU, so it's a bummer. We like, you know, of course, to see the local kids that are with the Texans shine and do big things. But, hopefully they do that and take care of that situation properly. Deshaun Watson, can I interest you in a nugget about him and his ever-present legal team?
Is it coming from Josina Anderson?
I'm told.
Josina!
wait. Do you need a Josina Anderson drop?
I don't know. We might. I thought of that the other day.
You need a Josina Anderson drop.
Remember those
Anderson
Chia
drop?
Pets? Did you ever have a Chia Pet?
I didn't because they freaked me out.
Oh, okay. But yeah, the commercial used to be, Chia, you can have this weird looking thing that grows hair. Look at this. So it's awesome. The 90s. Yeah.
One time I emptied a protein shake in the garbage disposal, and it grew, like my mom found it like growing something like chia, because there were chia seeds in it. I don't know. Oh. The chia dolls, whatever they called. What were they called? Chia pets.
Yeah.
Freaked me out. Didn't like them. Josina did not report this, but Charles Robinson of Yahoo did. He said another note. If Watson ends up incurring the full year suspension the NFL is seeking, either from the arbitrator or a league appeal of Robinson's decision, I'm told his camp and the NFLPA have already made the decision to file a lawsuit against the league in federal court.
Mike Florio had a very good write-up on this if you wanted to understand the nuance in great detail. But since we're on the radio and I feel like we should explain it as quickly as we possibly can, federal court is very unlikely to second-guess something after it's been negotiated between management and labor. And in the most recent collective bargaining agreement, the NFL and the Players Association negotiated, yes, an independent arbiter in all these situations to determine suspensions, but also still finalized that Goodell has final say. Goodell had final say before. And
I know. That's what I don't understand. So is it just a big circle that all leads back to good old Raj?
Yes. And I think in this situation, Vanessa, because of how messy it is, they're going to look so bad if they don't do anything. I'd also just point out to other situations where players have appealed suspensions. You had Tom Brady do it. And for a time, it looked like Brady actually might completely beat it. But then he lost to a 3-judge panel in the U.S. Court of Appeals and ultimately served his suspension, like a year and a half plus after the Deflategate scandal broke before Super Bowl 49. And I think with Ezekiel Elliott, he tried to do it, but the NFL has an edge when it comes to all these other weird, like, behind-the-scenes court things, because they can just file essentially the case minutes after they want to file it. So whatever the case, okay, good luck is essentially what I would tell Deshaun Watson and his team. I think you're just going to end up wasting a lot of money. Obviously, you may as well appeal, you know, but I doubt that this will do anything, much like I doubt that Sue Robinson's ruling is ultimately going to be the final say. It's all about Roger Goodell.
I am glad that you brought this up, because do you remember when we kept hearing from different national media personalities that they had looked into it and they knew exactly how it was going to go and that it ended, the buck stopped with Sue Robinson? And then Ian Rapoport or Tom Pelissero, one of the media types, was like, actually, upon further review, it still goes back to Roger.
Yeah.
This is just the other question I have, Paul, is regardless of whether people think Deshaun did something wrong or not, I'm surprised the NFLPA is backing him this much. They would sue the league. Is that surprising to you or not so much?
It's not. It's a tough situation. They have no choice but to. You know, it's sort of, I guess, akin to a public defender where someone has to defend him.
Yeah.
Because if they don't defend him, could it establish precedent for future, I guess, rulings that Goodell could go back to and say, well, we did this and we're going to do this because the NFL Players Association didn't really push back. I think it's more about that. And I mean, you would see it in baseball. You would see it in the NBA, too. It's the same kind of deal. I doubt that they're enthused about it. You know, I mean, I think the good thing for the Players Association should they back Watson is that, you know, just because of Watson not being indicted, not being criminally charged, you have essentially you don't have as much, I guess, to prove to necessarily win a case. But at the same time, I have a hard time seeing anyone beating Roger Goodell and his redheaded fist.
Redheaded fist. I think there's a lot of people talking, including owners, I would guess, to Goodell right now about what they want. A lot of controversy in the league between everything happening with the Raiders, with the Washington football team. Okay, so we talked a little bit about this, but it's continuing to be a big story. Cam Smith, the number two ranked player in the world and Open champ, is in talks with LIV Golf. The miraculous mullet could be heading to the LIV Golf Tour to take that Saudi-backed money.
Yeah.
There are people that are pissed about this.
I mean, Cam Smith, I don't know if you heard this, right after he won the Open, we have the audio of this. This was Cam Smith on Sunday. A reporter decided, hey, congrats, but what about these rumors, bro?
Cam, apologies for having to bring this up in these circumstances, but your name continues to be mentioned. It's been mentioned to me this week about LIV Golf. What's your position? Are you interested? Is there any truth to suggestions that you might be signing?
I just won the British Open, and you're asking about that. I think that's pretty not that good.
I appreciate that, but the question is still there. Are you interested at all? Is there any truth in that?
I don't know, mate. My team around me worries about all that stuff. I'm here to win golf tournaments.
No denial.
No denial at all.
And Vanessa, we're talking $90 million. You know, Saudi Arabia is obviously pretty shady. There's a lot of shady places across our world. You could argue that from time to time, we ourselves, the U.S., have been shady. But someone's offering you $90 million. Are you, if you were put in those shoes, willing to take a stand against one of many brutal, oppressive states?
The 9/11 victims' families are not happy about it. They're also not happy that Donald Trump is hosting a LIV Golf Tour event at his New Jersey mansion later this month. His New Jersey golf course.
That's an angle, Vanessa. Say it's an American that we're talking about. You know, like I think it would be very easy to pressure an American in that situation. We're talking about an Australian here. Not to say that, like, you know, the U.S. and Australia and England all don't have like some sort of common bond and stuff.
No, that's a good point, though.
But for him, does he take something like that that happened, you know, thousands and thousands of miles away personally? I don't know. And should he? I would hope so. But like, again, it's $90 million he's reportedly being offered.
We will see. It continues to be a huge story. All right, coming up, our world-famous NFL countdown segment. You don't want to miss it. We want your opinion on what we're about to talk about, 51 days away from the NFL. And there is some news from the Texans that you'll want to hear. That's next.
ESPN. 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Vanessa and Gallant.
All right, 51 days until the NFL regular season kicks off. We go to our Jersey consultant, Paul Gallant. Who is number 51?
Dick Butkus, the epitome of man, born in Chicago, played for the Chicago Bears after playing in Illinois, two-time defensive player of the year, five-time first-team All-Pro. The guy just looked pissed off all the time. Had a big mustache on his face.
Hell yeah.
Commentator. He was an actor, too. He was a hell of a player. And if we talk about the Chicago Bears, who have had a rather lame history considering how long they've been in existence, it's always defensive players that you think of, but he is the epitome of the Chicago Bears, and he's credited with having defined the middle linebacker position. Hall of Famer 1979, and that number 51 is retired by the Chicago Bears.
Shout out to Dick Butkus on the all-time athlete name right beneath Dick Trickle.
What if he had been called Dick Trickle? What if he had been called Richard Marvin Butkus? Do you think it would have had the same ring? Because that is his real name, Richard Marvin Butkus.
Oh my God, no.
Doesn't that sound so much worse? Dick Butkus.
Yeah. Dick Butkus is an incredible name.
Yes.
All right, so a little bit of Texans news. If you are a Texans fan and you're a season ticket holder, they did just announce their themes for the 2022 home games. They kick off the regular season with a whiteout against
racist.
The Colts.
Very racist.
It's
football time in Houston, but we're all white.
Bring your Klan hood.
No! Jesus Christ. Prime time.
We're kidding.
We are definitely kidding. Prime
Don't
time
bring
against
your clan
the Philadelphia
yes.
Eagles.
Why
nope.
isn't it Liberty
Everything
White?
Clan like, is bad.
They should say Liberty White out. They used to do Liberty White.
It is. It says Liberty White out.
Oh, okay. I thought you just said White out. I was like, damn. Okay. We're going
Liberty
a White
out.
Okay. Okay.
Against the Chargers, Pink Ribbon Day presented by Kroger. Shout out to Breast Cancer. Kids Day
shout
is on.
Shout out to breast cancer.
Shout out
what
to
are you
killing
talking
breast
about?
Cancer. Shout out to eliminating and finding a cure
yeah,
for breast cancer.
You sounded like you were giving breast cancer a fist bump.
Let's see. Kids Day presented by Texas Children's Hospital.
Sorry.
Battle Red Day against the Eagles on primetime. That's where they're gonna debut those sweet new helmets.
Red helmets, yeah.
Salute to service against the Commanders. Deep Steel Sunday against the Browns.
Is that when
homecoming.
They wear all blue?
Yep, homecoming against the Chiefs, and then Fan Appreciation Day against the Jags.
Do they have a color rush game?
I do not see a color rush game.
What is homecoming?
Homecoming is December 18th against the Chiefs, which will be a fun game.
Wait a second, what?
But what does that mean in the context
I
of an
know.
NFL team?
It's a great question. Hopefully
oh, no, I actually know the answer to this. I actually know the answer to this because I covered it last year. It's when they have all of the old players, like Travis Johnson, Andre Johnson, like they have any old Texans player, former Texans player, I should say, is able to bring their families. They do pictures on the field before the game, etc.
Why would you pick it against the Chiefs?
That is a very astute thing. Like, do it against the Jags.
Yeah, they're going to get murdered.
It's painful. Okay, we do have a new tweet from our friend, Paul.
Josina.
There you go.
That's Josina
Anderson. Yes. Says, quote, I'm told as part of its post-hearing brief,
I'm
the
told.
NFL essentially argued the declaration in its own personal conduct policy that owners will be subject to more significant discipline is an irrelevant point to the Deshaun Watson proceeding at hand,
oh,
per league source.
You don't say. So everything you've been tweeting about for the last couple of weeks is completely pointless and meaningless? Oh.
So explain this to me. Like I'm five. So the NFL is saying what now? Argued the declaration in its own personal conduct policy that owners. Okay. So I see what she's saying.
Because she's been tweeting over the last couple of weeks about like this double standard of what they have done with Robert Kraft and how that can be applied to Deshaun Watson. And now essentially she's saying, oh, I guess not. In a nutshell.
Yeah.
Josina.
That's the latest.
I'm told.
Anderson.
Yeah.
I am told. All right. Bucks running back Leonard Fournette came to camp weighing almost 260 pounds. Coaches are not happy because he just got big money on that 3-year contract. Oh,
listen, he just acquired mass. It's fine. Rum ham or two or three.
Should a team be able to void somebody's contract if they show up super fat?
Rockets.
Right.
Yes. that's my take.
I actually
yes.
think unless you're a female athlete and you've birthed a child, I think that it's part of your job to stay in shape.
Even if you birthed a child, isn't it your job to stay in shape?
I mean, immediately after though, like Alex Morgan, after she had a baby took a couple months of like healing her body. But if you're Leonard Fournette, what's your excuse?
I have a friend who does the Pilates and I was like, wait a second, you're pregnant? Because you're like still ripped. This doesn't make any sense. Oh, okay. You turn to the side. Now I can see the bump. Okay. Gotcha.
There you go.
Yeah. Some people do it. But yes, yeah, so in this situation with Fournette has always had questions about this. The Bucks give him a 3-year contract despite having multiple moments while he has been in Tampa Bay where they have not been 100% sold on him. He's had an interesting career. He was drafted too early. The Jaguars screwed that one up. He, I think, really had an uphill battle in Jacksonville, given that Blake Bortles was his quarterback, the one turning around. I mean, everyone could just load up in the box against him. And he's had a strange career. Like, if you look at it, it has been successful. He was a big part of a playoff run for the Bucks. He has stayed in the league for a long period of time. But at the same time, there are constantly stories about the work ethic, whether he cares. And, I mean, this one is one. 260 pounds. I mean, unless you're trying to be the next Mike Alstott or something like that, I'm sorry. This is not a good look.
It is definitely not. All right. So Gronk's girlfriend, supermodel Camille Kostek, said that she doesn't think he's, quote, retired. She said, "I'm an honest lady, and honestly, I don't feel like this is the forever one," she told the Tampa Bay Times. "So I think maybe he'll come back again. I feel like him and Tom are just having fun, like retired, not retired.
Do you think she's had too much Gronk in her life? And she's like, you know, I kind of like how you're, you know, work for a whole season and I don't see you that much. I need a little space. Is that a subtle way of saying that?
I think she's manifesting him coming out of retirement. Yep.
Why would she do that?
Because he's probably annoying to live with. I mean, think about all that energy and all that, like, testosterone.
What, you're telling me he's someone who, like, walks around the house and maybe goes, and maybe toots, and then goes, ha, 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 like, laughs like a surfer dude after the fact? You're saying that could get annoying?
Yeah,
I know,
I
that seems
it
like
could.
It's pretty awesome.
All right, so Dak, you know Dak Prescott's, like, warm-up dance that he does? It involves a lot of hip shaking. It involves a lot of turning. I'm doing it over Zoom right now so Paul can see me.
Yeah.
He did it at a camp, at a camp that he held for kids and taught the kids how to do it. And it made us think, what is a weird habit that you have that other people would think is weird, but to you, like, you do it so often that it's just normal? Dak's dance is an example of one of those things. Paul, you want to go first?
I think it's all of the strange names that I call my cat that are not my cat's name. So my cat is named Aria, but I call my cat Monkey, Bungles, Floofle McFloofelson, the Wee Babe McPherson, Alphonse, Fat Dumb, like just a long list of weird stuff. I have no idea why I do it. I can probably count on two hands the amount of time I've actually called my cat by a proper name. So that's probably number one. The other one is, I mean, the amount of times I just sing for no reason at all while waiting around, which I'm sure that both you and Sean have come to enjoy about me, that I will just sing a beautiful ditty around you guys, not with the intention of getting it stuck in your head at all.
Sean Mapes, what is a weird habit that you have?
Even if I'm, like, alone in a house or something, mm-hmm. I will always... Yeah, stop moving your eyebrows, Paul. I will always, like, have, like, the TV on, even if I'm not, like, in the room. I just need, like, that kind
really?
Of noise. I do poorly in complete silence.
Oh.
I need, like, a TV on, music playing. I need some... I can't be alone in my thoughts.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
Interesting. Do you... How high is the volume? Like, is it, like, low volume, or is it, like, rather high?
Nah, like, low. It just needs to be, like, there, you know?
Will you ever... How often do you pay attention to the background TV?
Very little, and then sometimes I will. Like, sometimes I'll just play a movie and, like, not watch it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What's the last one?
All right, so I sleep with headphones in.
Interesting. Do you listen to music?
No. I just don't like outside noise. And I lived, my last apartment was loud. And so now I'm just in the habit. My new apartment is not loud. It's actually quiet. But now I'm in the habit to where I feel like I need to do it. The other thing I do, this one I think a lot of people do as well, but I really talk to myself when I'm alone. Like, honestly, if somebody, like, if I ever live with a guy, he's going to probably think that I have multiple personality disorder because I will have a conversation with myself.
I talk to myself, though. It's generally, like, telling me to go bleep myself and die in a fire and stuff like
correct.
That. Yeah. Like, yeah. It's more just, like, beating up on myself in private. I think naturally. That's natural. I think a lot of people do that.
I do think that talking to yourself is normal. But, yeah, the earbuds thing, I have to have it completely dark when I sleep.
Oh, damn.
So I sleep with a cover over my eyes, a sleep cover.
Whoa.
And then I have earplugs in, and then I like the room to be super cold.
Everyone
and then
does that. Yeah.
I want, like, to be absolutely covered with blankets.
Are you a
box fan?
Are you a light sleeper?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Gosh, it sounds like you wake up a lot then if these are all the things that you need to do.
These are all the things that I do.
Do you have insomnia, you think?
I've always had a lot of sleep problems. And I used to take CBD to help me sleep. Part of it's anxiety, too. If I'm anxious about something, there's just no way I'm going to bed.
Damn.
So sounds like I need to talk to a therapist.
Or just get an endorsement. Hey,
I mean,
those sleep studies, they have them all over the place.
Yes, hope our salespeople are listening. That's a great observation, Paul. Yeah. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, SEC Media Day highlights. We're going to hear some of Paul's impersonations of these coaches. I can't wait. That's coming up next.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we are rolling along on a Tuesday. Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant, Sean Moose with you. And it is SEC Media Day. And if we know one thing, it's that we always have some nice sound bites that come from some overly aggressive, passive aggressive, whatever you want to call it, aggressive coaches with a lot of testosterone. That all seem to really hate each other. So, Paul, your observations from what we've heard so far. We'll play the audio in a second, but first, just some general thoughts about SEC Media Day in the midst of conference realignment.
I want Jimbo Fisher, Nick Saban. I want blood. I want the Cold War to get hot again. They dialed everything back after their initial comments. I want Jimbo Fisher to continue to get pissy. And I think that there's a chance that it actually could perhaps happen. It really depends on the people who are there to ask questions. So we'll just go to one of the highlights of it. So the two big speakers yesterday were Brian Kelly, who no longer has a Southern accent. You'll hear that in a little bit. And Lane Kiffin, head coach of Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin has been pretty opposed to NIL because he feels that it creates an unfair competitive advantage for the teams that have the most money.
I do want to point out that the show before us actually asked this question on Twitter, which is, how would people feel about the NFL system for NIL, which is what you'll hear from Lane Kiffin. But we also want your thoughts because this is a really fascinating subject to me. Like when I saw the tweet that they had put out, I'm like, okay, we need to ask our listeners about this too, because I thought Lane Kiffin brought up a really interesting system per se.
713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Here was Lane Kiffin outlining perhaps something that could be put in place of what college football currently has, a world of, honestly, no rules, no laws, and all sorts of NIL money.
People have different salary caps, and I think, I imagine what you're seeing in recruiting, for those that follow it, is, you know, players go to where the most money is. So it is what it is, and until it's changed, people that don't have those payrolls got to find their way around it.
I feel like right now he's right in that someone like Ole Miss, it's not like they don't have money, but they don't have Alabama money. You have to be creative with how you do it. Well, why not, as he proposed, have a system where everyone's operating with the same amount of money? I like it. Now, look, people are going to still do stuff underneath the table, and certain schools can get away with some stuff underneath the table. But theoretically, there are consequences. Say you were to get caught doing things like that. Say you were to get exposed, and it's always possible when you got these big college football machines for someone to slip up, to say the wrong thing, to leave the right amount of a paper trail for someone to perhaps get in trouble. So I conceptually like the idea, though I do feel bad for the players potentially getting money taken away from them in a free market kind of economy where if they play well somewhere and another school says, hey, we'll pay you this to come here, now all of a sudden you're taking that out of their pocket.
Yeah, I mean, I like that Lane Kiffin brings this up because it's so much better than the PC PR type statement that we hear from a lot of coaches who, you know, they'll give their opinion a little bit on it. He is a solution. The other thing, Paul, I get so tired of people being like, well, if this happens, then there may be some people that take advantage of the system. People will always take advantage of the system. It's always going to happen. There's always going to be donors slipping kids money. So that just is what it is. Greg Sankey does not expect expansion to happen anytime soon. This was interesting to me. Let's play that audio.
Again, we're comfortable at 16. There's no sense of urgency, no sense of panic. We're not just shooting for a number of affiliations that make us better. Could they be out there? I would never say they're not. I would never say that we will.
There he is. I mean, we don't know when exactly it's – did he say 2025?
I think
that is that the original plan?
2025 is when Texas and Oklahoma are supposed to arrive in the SEC. And while there were some rumors that they might leave early, those have apparently been dispelled as of today. So we're still going to have to wait to see them join the SEC. I think the real question, if you're the SEC, would be who would you add, and would you really get a significant edge by adding some of the teams that have been proposed? The three that have been brought up recently have been, I guess it's four technically. It's been Clemson, but they already have South Carolina. They already have tapped into, like, I guess the South Carolina region. Do they need more from South Carolina? I would imagine some SEC schools maybe would take offense to adding more competition. You have in Florida State and Miami, two programs that have a lot of history, but don't have a lot of resources. And again, it's another school in Florida. Does it really help out the SEC that much? The one that's been interesting that's been floated is Virginia, who's never really been that good at football, but they have money. They are a very beautiful campus. There isn't really much of a route in Virginia for the SEC. It's really the last state in the South that hasn't really been touched by the SEC, but I was surprised to hear him say that. Things can obviously change. I mean, I bet they wouldn't be totally opposed to the idea of calling
Notre Dame. It's all about money. That's exactly what I was about to bring up. Notre Dame is trying to sign a contract to stay independent. If you're Notre Dame, are you semi-interested in joining a conference that would no doubt make, you know, immediately bring in more money? Immediately, I know that they want to remain independent, but I just at this point don't get why.
At some point, they will not be independent.
But right.
I think for now, they like the idea that they can control whatever they want to do. I mean, they are the quintessential person that never wants to get in a relationship because they feel like they are always going to have better options that they don't want to pass up on.
Are you projecting
a little bit? Yes.
Speaking of Notre Dame, we heard from Brian Kelly, who, of course, is now at the LSU Tigers. And if you remember, a couple months ago, we heard Brian Kelly talking about my family. Here's Brian Kelly, and for whatever reason, it's no longer family, and it's just family.
You know, I just think that, you know, any time that I've moved into a particular community, it's embracing the community, the culture, And I think that that's the way, you know, you have to settle into any college, university setting. Be part of the community and embrace it accordingly.
Yeah, that Southern accent's gone.
I do declare it is despicable that Brian Kelly would sink so low as to be a damn carpetbagger from the North, taking away jobs from Southern men, and on top of that, dare to speak with a colloquialism for just a moment in time, only to go back just for the sake of, I don't know, perhaps pandering to a larger audience. I don't know, Vanessa, who would do such a thing, but I do declare those people are despicable.
I can't get over, first of all, the fact that your Southern accent, A, is better than his.
It's not hard.
His was pretty brutal. My family.
I wonder if he ever had a Boston accent, because he's from Boston.
Right.
I mean, that would make sense. And if he had a Boston accent, I think that you could actually perhaps workshop that into a Southern accent.
Workshop.
Yeah.
You don't really have a Boston accent, though. I don't hear it that
only
often.
It only comes out with a couple of different words. I'm told I say terrible, weird, And that any word that's with an O-R, I say orange instead of orange.
Oh.
Orange. It sounds so weird to say orange. Yeah.
Does it come out when you're in Southie?
If I'm around other people, yes, it does come out. I'm very chameleon-esque that if I'm around people that have accents, I will probably start subconsciously speaking with that accent slightly.
Right. Right. You know, just call yourself Brian Kelly. Boston used to be Paul Gallant's home.
Yeah, it
did. Houston is now his home. And if you own your home, listen to me, because TGS is going to make it. Thank you. TGS is going to make it the easiest it's ever been to get a better home insurance rate. And no, you don't have to talk to an agent. It doesn't have to be a hassle. They have a system that has about 36 carriers, and you get the full quote using only a text. So take your phone out. Text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system is going to ask for your address, and you send it back, and you get the full quote within 15 seconds. So this is a legit company. It's not a scam. Their online rating is almost perfect, and their average customer from last year, guys, saving over $870. So again, I know you don't like to do it, but TGS makes shopping for home insurance the easiest it's ever been. Text money, 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.